When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour two, game time decisions here on Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Sports Grid TV, wherever you are finding us, even on social media. We greatly appreciate you. I am Adam Kaufman. Let us welcome in our next guest to the program to talk exclusively baseball for the next little bit, Rob Donaldson, who is, of course, an Underdog partner, a professional handicapper. You can get him on Twitter at RobDFB. Rob, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you too, Adam. I'm glad to see you're holding up after the Devers trade. And you know, the Red Sox are coming off a sweep of the Yankees, so it was a pretty good weekend overall for you. And then maybe a little bit of a toss-up weekend at the back end.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone that is familiar either with the show Arrested Development or just the gif that you sometimes see on social media of, you know, David Cross, Tobias Funke crying in the shower, holding the bar of soap, and he's got the, you know, jorts on, and he's just all just completely bawling his eyes out. That was me earlier, but I'm coping. I'm getting over it just a little bit. Right now, it's day of dingers. Philadelphia is up 1-0 on a Trey Turner leadoff homer. That game is in Miami, only top two. And Colorado, of all teams, coming off a rare win yesterday against Atlanta as a heavy, nearly plus 300 dog, up 2-0 on a Hunter Goodman homer. That game is in Washington at the end of one, so the Rockies coming up to bat here in just a little bit. Before we get to some of the games in front of us, did you have a feel on either of these?
You know, in that Phillies-Marlins game, I actually gravitated towards kind of almost targeting Mick Abel because he is a guy right now with a really nice-looking surface-level ERA, but through three starts, he has been getting absolutely lit up with some hard contact. Almost kind of reminds me of like a Bryce Elder from Atlanta the past couple years where good ERA numbers, but then all of a sudden it kind of fades off near the back end of the season. And I think Mick Abel is kind of going that direction. So I took a shot with actually Jesus Sanchez to have a nice little night here. Over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. We'll see how that plays out. But in the Colorado-Washington game, I'm actually on that under of 9 runs. So hopefully things cool off for that Rockies offense here in the back half.
We got the Yankees and Angels starting here in just a couple of minutes in the Bronx. This is an interesting one because of all the heavy favorites today, I for me anyway, the Yankees are kind of the one that I trust the least, and that's not even with my Boston bias. I'll back New York if it feels like the right spot. I just, you know, with this pitching matchup of Schmidt against Soriano, I feel like they're fairly comparable, and, you know, you're getting the edge, obviously, with the game being in New York, but I don't know. To lay in the vicinity of minus 200, I think there are other ways to attack this game, which is exactly what you've done.
Yeah, and kind of along the lines of you, I thought that the Yankees offense could really pick up in this game, but did I want to go in there and just have a lineup battle and hope that the Yankees can cover a pretty crazy run line that's even juiced to the minus 1.5? Probably not. So I ended up taking an over of 4.5 team total runs on the Yankee side of things. They're getting Giancarlo Stanton back in the lineup. See what that actually ends up meaning, if anything. But I feel like sometimes when you're coming off a series where you only score 4 runs against a division rival, especially a rival like the Red Sox and Yankees, I think your offense is going to be due for a little bit of that positive regression in the next series. And luckily, they are kind of drawing the Angels here at the perfect time.
For all the NL West talk over the last, you know, not even 24 hours surrounding Rafael Devers obviously going to San Francisco, there are a couple other pretty good teams that are matching up. The LA Dodgers, the defending champs, and the San Diego Padres, who do sit right now 3 games behind the Dodgers in that division. They are battling in LA tonight. And the most notable thing about this game, obviously, is that Shohei Ohtani, the reigning MVP, is going to pitch for the first time since 2023. Albeit in kind of an opener status. We don't know, you know, will we see him 1 innings, 2 innings? What's the pitch count going to be? Do we just go under on 1.5 strikeouts, as sweaty and dangerous as that feels? You know, how do you feel about Shohei taking the mound again and just, you know, the Padres as dogs in this situation?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite things to do is target the pitchers coming off of, you know, an absence of pitching. Usually it's an IL stretch, and I guess technically to an extent that applies to Shohei Ohtani. But at the same time, anytime you have that kind of layoff as a pitcher, there is a ramp-up period. And because he's such a good hitter, they didn't really give him a chance to go through the minor league ramp-up sessions and get those innings under his belt. So he's going into this game basically running on those simulations that you run, you know, on your off days. And I don't think that's going to be very conducive to success against a Padres lineup that's actually starting to pick it up well in terms of their offensive production. And so to your point, we might not even see Shohei Ohtani go more than 2 or 3 innings tonight. And even if he does, I think he's actually going to get pretty roughed up in his first start back in a long layoff. So give me the Padres at plus 130 in that plus 140 range. I think Dylan Cease could actually have the night in terms of the starting pitchers.
Rob, the books seem to have adjusted to Sacramento at this point, and you wondered how long that was going to take. But now we see a 10.5 run total in this game between the Athletics and the Astros. Is the over compelling to you, though? Because looking at public splits, it looks like people are riding that under, feeling like that number is just a little too high.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards that under, but I don't love either side of that total, because the A's bullpen is the ultimate wild card. You know, at the start of the year, they were very decent league average and could eat up, you know, 3-4 innings, and you'd feel like somewhat reasonably confident that they wouldn't just get bludgeoned. And now, ever since, I don't know, the turn into May, they have been absolutely abysmal, and I have no trust left in the A's bullpen. So they could actually give up the 10 runs just on their own, and Mitch Spence and Gusto aren't necessarily the most kind of trustworthy starting pitchers to roll out there either. So I would actually say probably lean towards that over, but I really don't love either side of the coin in that total department there.
I'll tell you, not that I think that highly of Gusto, but I feel badly for the people that hammered the total when they thought that Lance McCullers was going to be starting this game, because, right, you know, that you would have felt a little bit better about the over versus what we've got right now. Maybe it'll hit. Another one a little bit later on, my Red Sox, who you mentioned before, fresh off dealing Rafael Devers, but they've been hot. Wins out of 8 of 10. 5 of 6 against the Yankees specifically. Again, they've put themselves in a position to make the playoffs. If they can continue to play at the level they're playing, there's a whole lot of season left, of course. They are in Seattle. Now, look, removing bias, I like Seattle tonight. I think it's a great situation for Gilbert. He's certainly a better pitcher than Giolito is. I would rather tackle the full game for Seattle, just knowing that even if Giolito does pitch well, Boston's bullpen absolutely blows. But then there's the, you know, sort of the adjacent fallen hero theory, right? Like teams responding to a dramatic change within that locker room, clubhouse in this case. Do we think the Red Sox are plus money or the play just because they kind of rally as a unit together around Devers being gone, knowing someone or multiple people in the aggregate need to step up?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes when you're coming off of a sweep, especially against a division rival or just a team in your division, you can fall flat on your face in that next series. So that gives me pause on kind of wanting to take that Red Sox angle there. And also, you don't really know, I guess, how like the lineup is going to respond to with when you do remove a guy like Devers, and there's so much kind of notoriety behind it, or you know, people trying to publicize every single thing now that the Red Sox do. Now, what I think you can actually kind of play into here is a little bit of an under. Obviously, T-Mobile is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, and just unders in general are great play. And now you're removing one of those kind of key pieces to that total.
Yeah, it would take you about 10 seconds on social media to see what a smear campaign Red Sox media is already on behalf of ownership, front office, whatever, doled out against Rafael Devers. Might be the worst teammate that has ever walked the planet if you read what is out there right now. Rob Donaldson, again, on Twitter, RobDFB. Thanks, man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
What's up? Welcome back. Game Time Decisions here on Sports Grid. We go from Rob Donaldson talking baseball to our pal, host and analyst here on Sports Grid, Tom Vecchio, joining us for the next little while to really bounce around. We'll do some baseball. We'll do some hockey. We'll do some NBA finals as we're a little over an hour away from tip-off in that contest. Should be a lot of fun. Just to update you on some of the MLB scores. We'll work in some more baseball in a little bit. Philadelphia right now up 1-0 in Miami still off that Trey Turner home run. But runners at the corners for the Marlins with two out in the bottom of the first. So we need Mick Abel to get out of a jam here if you're back in Philly like I am and like I happen to know Tom is. Colorado still up 2-0 on that Hunter Goodman home run in Washington at the end of two. So the Rockies going for their second straight win. We'll be coming to bat in the third here in a moment. And the Angels already with a couple of men aboard top one in New York against the Yankees. That is underway. We have the Orioles and Rays getting started here shortly as well. Vecchio, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Like I said, I am also backing the Phillies. I also have both Mick Abel and Sandy on my fantasy team, the same team. So I need a lot of different things to happen in this game, but ultimately I want the Phillies money line to come through. A 1-0 Phillies win would be awesome for a lot of different reasons. I would obviously like to see my Yanks get back on track, but I'm ready for whatever right now.
All right, we'll get to some baseball in just a little bit. We'll give the viewers, the listeners, a little baseball break. We just did that with Rob. Let's go back to the NBA Finals. It is certainly the marquee event of the sports betting evening and sports viewing evening. The Oklahoma City Thunder looking for that 3-2 NBA Finals lead against the Indiana Pacers, who have been plucky and pesky and just, I mean, man, this has been an impressive display here in these finals compared to the people like me who thought the Thunder were going to roll in this thing, win it maybe 5 or 6. Well, 6 is still on the table, but first OKC needs to take game 5. Do you like the Thunder to win tonight, and do you like them enough to lay 9.5?
Yes and no. That's the easy answer. I like them to win tonight, but I don't want to be laying 9.5. And you know, I talked about this yesterday with you. I talked about it earlier this morning on the early line with Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside, where there's a reason that I could talk myself, or people theoretically, you know, the proverbial you, could talk yourself into backing the Thunder. Right? They won by 7 points in the most recent game. And again, they shot 3 of 16 from deep in that game. A, the volume was low, but more importantly, the efficiency was terrible, right? So even if they had shot, you know, let's call it 5 of 16, which just percentage-wise is terrible. All of a sudden, we had 6 points on that. Hang on. Now they're winning by 13 points. Yet another, you know, free throw, whatever it might be. 13, 14, 15 points, they could have come away with the win. So we can find reasons to say, hey, the Thunder, 9.5, they could have done that in the most recent game on the road. And now we're going to get that line at home for them where we know they've been pretty dominant. But at the same time, the Pacers have been playing much better defense than I think a lot of people anticipated. It really comes down to tonight for me is how much are the Pacers able to score? Because they play great defense and they still lost that game.
We had Danny Burke on with us earlier. He likes the team total over for Oklahoma City, but as you mentioned, the defense has been, you know, certainly had its moments on both sides. It's contributed to going under in 3 out of the 4 games so far, and that is reflected in the total that we have. You know, gone is 230. We're looking at 223.5. Do you still go under and lean into that trend, or do you think this is the night where offense bounces back?
I'm still going under. My take, I had 2 takes coming into the series. It was one, my favorite bet was over 5.5 games. And once we got to game 6, which is, you know, in line with the over 5.5 games, we would see a total at sub 220. And that kind of caught some people off guard. Oh, 228, we're seeing this. Oh, these two offenses that like to fly. I'm like, that's just not going to be a trend that's going to be consistent in scoring. So 228 at the opening game, 228.5. We're down to 223 now. I just saw it move down from 224. If this falls under again, we are going to see the line open up at 221. It will be bet down to 220. That's what I'm anticipating. I think the Thunder cover the first quarter. They come out strong. The Pacers are an offense that have gotten better as games have gone on generally. So I think the Thunder can cover the first quarter. I think, frankly, it would be easy theoretically to play both sides of this game where you want to take the Pacers pregame at 9.5, or if it closes at 10, you could certainly get it there. And then if the Pacers start off strong, buy back in on the Thunder at -3, and you have a pretty good middle.
So I think an interesting thing, and it, you know, relates anyway to totals, is the Thunder have allowed only 67 points per game here in this series to opposing starters. And, you know, are actually throughout the playoffs, I believe, fewest of any team, 42% shooting on the other side here. And so, you know, between limiting transition points, forcing turnovers, just being, again, the defensive stalwarts that they were during the regular season and beyond, is this a situation where, you know, I don't know, from a player prop perspective, you're looking more closely at OKC players or unders for Indiana starters?
So there's a couple different ways to go about this. I talked about it this morning with Joe and Donnie. I don't mind Alex Caruso, you know, coming off the bench. I don't mind some points from him. If I would say, like, obviously, who's going to be doing the scoring? Because we talked about SGA's number, which was up at 34.5. Is it still? Yeah, it's still 34.5. I think that's way too high. I like Jalen Williams in terms of his potential production, but the 22.5 number is way too high. So I think he'll be the next player to score the most, but doesn't mean I want to be going to over 22.5. So it would go under on SGA. Caruso, I like the over 10.5. He's been hot. Now, obviously, the 220-point games is not exactly what I'm thinking he's going to be bringing tonight, but give me 12, 13 points. I think he's certainly very capable. On the Indiana side of things, I think all of their starters, their points are where they should be. The Miles Turner line seems maybe a touch too high. The threes I'd be a little bit worried about. I don't think that'd be an easy bet. I think it'd be sweaty. But it really comes down to Obi Toppin under 10.5 points as being one of my favorite bets for this entire game. 7 of 12 in the most recent game in Game 4. It's the second most field goal attempts he's taken, not just in this series, but in the entire playoffs. And he's not going to be shooting over 50%, especially on the road. So give me under 10.5 for Obi Toppin.
The one guy with those starters that I would trust, and it's not Tyrese Haliburton, I can't believe I'm saying this to you, given the number of times he's let us down personally, but Pascal Siakam, the only real reliable offensive success that Indiana has had in the series is when they lean on Siakam inside. Now, whether that's going over on points or maybe it's a combo play, points, rebounds, assists, because he had the 8 boards last time out, he can get the occasional assist. That number's sitting at 29.5. How do you feel about an over-under there?
I don't mind it. I know, yes, he has let us down personally both a number of times, but maybe he was just saving it for the playoffs, saving it for the finals.
It'd be nice, right? We'll come on back. Much more with Tom Vecchio. By the way, 1-1 Phillies Marlins now, bottom 2 in Miami, and no score, Angels Yankees. Hockey talk.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I'd say I am happy to report on behalf of both Tom Vecchio and myself that the Phillies were able to escape a bases loaded jam, and it's 1-1 going top three in Miami in that contest right now. Still 2-0 Rockies leading in Washington. Nats are batting bottom three, and no score Angels Yankees in the Bronx. That one is only in the opening inning. We'll do some more baseball, look ahead to tonight's games in a little bit. But Vecchio, let's work in some Stanley Cup final talk. I know there's no game tonight. We got to wait till tomorrow after the double day off, if you will, with the travel day going to Florida. Opportunity for the Panthers to make it two straight Stanley Cup wins, you know, knocking off Edmonton both times, no less, if they can do this in Game 6 back in Sunrise. They are heavily favored, the Panthers, after that Game 5 win, you know, right around minus 145. Do the Oilers just, I don't know, out of respect for Edmonton, do the Oilers at plus money, right around plus 120 to 125, feel like the value play, if you will?
So I talked about, again, this is something else I've been talking about. I think the play to make at this point, it would be to take Edmonton on the series price. This is if you think Edmonton can come back, because you don't want to play them at plus 122. You could play them there. But if you think they extend the series, that means that they'd be having home ice in game seven. So it'd be taking them on a series price just because objectively you're getting a much higher number at 310 compared to plus 122. And then that leaves you with a very nice potential hedge to just simply bet on the Panthers in game seven if that were to, you know, get there. So that's the way I would approach it. If you want to just take a single bet for this, I think the over is obviously a very easy way to go about things. I would, you know, continue to say that some of these games should not have been going over. The most recent game notably should not have gone over. It only ended 5-2
because
because it was an empty netter. And then one of those other games...
Well, because there were 5 third-period goals.
Right, also. But also in Game 3, that was when the Panthers had 11 power play opportunities. So all that extra scoring provided... So I know we have seen overs the entire time, but if we subtract those two games, you'd be like, okay, we've seen a kind of even series back and forth, over-under, and it wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, we're just playing the over again tonight, or tomorrow, I should say. So I don't mind the over, just because if we do see the lack of defense or the lack of consistency from Stuart Skinner, who I think is going to be starting, we could easily see 3 goals in the first period combined, and then if the game opens up and they get extra scoring and the game ends 5-2 again.
Yeah, I mean, I like the over. I like the Oilers. I like that combo in game 5. And, you know, half right, but when it's a parlay, that doesn't do you any favors, obviously. In terms of this one, though, do we look at the prop market and lean into the best players for Edmonton? Of course, I'm talking about Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, maybe even Corey Perry has been so advantageous. You know, Bouchard is firing shots on net with absurd regularity. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, just in terms of opportunity. Do we attack certain guys to either have a point, have multiple points, or, you know, just shots on goal, figuring the Oilers' season literally on the line are going to be more aggressive?
So... in theory, yes. I've always found playoff shot volume to be obviously volatile. It's not always the consistent players that average 3.5 shots, you know, or consistently getting to that mark. It's just like, hey, we're rolling 4 lines because we have to. Anyone can get the shots on goal. So you could take the shots. All Draisaitl, Bouchard, and McDavid are all plus money for over 3.5. Again, these are 60-minute lines. You know, if they're getting a ton of shots on goal, what does that mean? It means that Bobrovsky is probably making saves. So I talked about it last night. Bobrovsky over 27 and a half saves. Like, at that point, we are betting on the Oilers to take shots. We're not betting on a specific player. And granted, you're not getting the same odds. It's not like a plus 120 or whatever we're seeing for some of these players. You have to lay the minus 112. But that is the same thing. You're just simply betting on the goalie to have the save because the Oilers have to get shots on goal. Their season is on the line.
So, you know, for me, Tom, and I think, you know, we're a little simpatico when it comes to something like this. You know, I think most people's favorite aspect of betting is obviously winning bets, making money, like, no kidding, right? For me, almost outweighing that in some ways is just putting the puzzle together and monitoring line movement and trying to figure it out. And, you know, you just talk about Bobrovsky. We had you on with us last night. We were talking about how if you believe, let's say, Bobrovsky goes and has a shutout in game six, there's still that window that he could win the Conn Smythe playoff MVP. And the odds at that point were 120 to 1 on FanDuel, an egregious number. And right now, it's 75 to 1. Nothing has happened. No game has been played. How do you feel about Bobrovsky? Is there, you know, do you still, could you be tempted by that number?
I mean, yeah, I would be tempted by 75 to 1. I have a position on at 3.5 to 1 on him. But again, the day, the extra day off does provide, you know, some clarity for the books. And maybe there's some credence to it that it is worth the spot.
Favorite there, if anyone's wondering, Sam Bennett, minus 160. And then Brad Marchand, the mid-sequence season acquisition, about 4 to 1. More with Vecchio on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've got Tom Vecchio, one more segment. We have done the NBA Finals. We have done the Stanley Cup Final. But, oh, by the way, there's baseball. It's going on right now. There are more games tonight as well. No score changes since I last brought them up. But just to give them to you again, the Phillies and Marlins, third inning. It is 1-1. Philly a man aboard, though, so trying to get home that first five for both Tom and I. The Rockies are leading the Nationals 2-0 and have a man in scoring position top four. That with two out, and the Angels and Yankees are scoreless. New York was threatening there in the bottom of the opening inning, couldn't scratch anything across, so we continue on. We also have the Orioles and Rays starting up momentarily, so why don't we just go right there, Tom? You have any lean on this one between Eflin and Pepio?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I'm inclined to look at the over just because I don't think these pitchers are very good. I know recent results from someone like Zach Eflin may indicate he's good, but it's super hot there. The rain should be holding off. It's obviously a great park for hitting and, you know, described as a minor league park just because it doesn't have the stands protecting it. So I don't mind some scoring, especially with the Orioles offense. They've been playing significantly better, especially over the past few weeks, I would say 2-3 weeks, than they were at the beginning portion of the season. They were terrible. Obviously, the standings reflect that, but they are scoring some runs, and the Rays are coming off a huge, huge series sweep against the Mets. They're also scoring some runs. So I do like this spot for scoring. I'm inclined to simply fade these pitchers whenever they're on the mound. I just don't like them.
Now, the you know, speaking of great weather and leading to maybe great results, we were talking with Rob Donaldson earlier about the park adjustment from the books in Sacramento there, the 10.5 total, massive total, much bigger than we're used to seeing, obviously, there outside of Coors, really. And so we have the Athletics, the Astros, 10 still in some places. It's being bet down on FanDuel, as a matter of fact. Do you expect runs? You know, knowing there's maybe a part of the factor is no McCullers anymore. It's Gusto on the mound for Houston.
Yeah, McCullers for the IL, like you said a little bit earlier today. I do like some runs. The fact that it's at a flat 10 now is always good. We can theoretically always get a push, which is good to see. It also leaves you that if it goes 5-5, like, oh, it goes to extra innings, we automatically get a run across at some point. Therefore, we get the win. So I always like to bet flat numbers if I can when it comes to MLB. For this game specifically, yeah, I'm on board with some runs. This park is fantastic for run scoring. We saw it from really the jump of the season till now. There's a ton of scoring. The Astros offense is really, really heating up. I know they started off the season super slow, but they have been so, so much better. And the Athletics bullpen is terrible. It just is. And I know they came away with a very nice series sweep against the Royals over the weekend, but the Royals offense is doing nothing over the past 2 weeks, like literally not scoring, not hitting, not doing anything. So if you give me extra chances against a terrible Athletics bullpen, which recent results may indicate that they're okay, they're actually still bad, we get some runs tonight.
Shohei Ohtani is pitching for the first time since 2023 at home, albeit more of an opener situation against the Padres. Shohei, first off, I mean, would you even want to go near any of his pitching props? Or do you just say, nah, like, we got to see what this looks like first, knowing that it's been so long that there wasn't even a minor league ramp up or anything?
Yeah, so this morning I talked about this on Newswire with Craig Mish. They have a special for it. I think it was, what is it, Ohtani for 3+ strikeouts? I think it was at plus 320.
Plus 320.
Yep. Yeah, 320. So, like, you have to know what you're buying into at that point. I would say put a much smaller unit on it. Do not put your normal unit size on it. Ohtani's only going to pitch 1-2 innings. You have to be like, hey, I'm in this first 2 innings. This is going to be a quick bet. It's like, you know, the race to 15 in the NBA. To me, I think it's a fun bet to do just because it's so exciting to see a player out there on the mound and then go hit. I would say what we should be taking from tonight is, more importantly, the volume of pitches he has, like the actual pitch count, combined with what I think is more important, his velocity. Because if his velocity is strong, this is the starting point to then say we can consistently bet on a strikeout prop. So I know it's kind of a long-winded answer to say I like one thing tonight kind of just as a fun bet to have. But more importantly, looking forward, his velocity is the most important thing.
Dodgers win this game, or is this a spot to back the Padres not knowing what we're going to get out of Shohei?
I don't mind the Padres at plus money, especially with probably the public heavily in favor of the Dodgers. I don't mind taking a shot on the Padres.
All right, what about the Red Sox and Mariners? You know, Sam every 3 seconds is in my ear going, how about that Rafael Devers trade? Mm-hmm. Huh? He's just trying to get me going, the Red Sox fan that I am. But yeah, Devers, salary dump, right? I mean, the Red Sox unloaded that $250-plus million remaining on the deal and a bad attitude, admittedly, and sent him off to San Francisco. The Giants, of course, are not playing tonight. But those Red Sox are. They went west without him, and they are in Seattle. Red Sox right around plus 150 with Lucas Giolito on the mound against Logan Gilbert. Gilbert, certainly the better pitcher, but I'm not sure he is any more likely than Giolito to twirl a gem tonight. And so where do we go here?
When it comes to this game, I think being on the Seattle side is the right side to be on. The Red Sox lineup is factually significantly weaker. Like, there's no way around it. And you could say, like, we could look to the future of what they're trying to do. Removing an all-star hitter from your lineup makes it weaker. That's just a fact. Now, and they haven't gotten anyone back to replace him. And you're saying, okay, well, they have these young prospects, like, they want to increase their production and therefore take the spot that Devers fulfilled in that lineup. We haven't seen it yet because we haven't seen this lineup play. So I don't mind, as you know, backing the Mariners tonight. However, I will say on a night-to-night basis, if you're getting good plus money on someone like Jarren Duran, Roman Anthony for 2+ total bases, getting that at plus money, these are the players I expect to step up, especially once Bregman comes back, once he's healthy and ready to go. I'm actually have an interest in Red Sox player props in the short term because they do need someone to step up and fill that production.
I alluded earlier to putting the puzzle together and trying to read the market and getting the most value in a number and all of that. We're pretty close, couple weeks out from the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Yeah. And there are some insiders, national insiders, that believe that the Red Sox do still believe in this team and do still think that they can contend, or at least put themselves in a position to contend, and are not punting on the season as a trade of Rafael Devers would indicate, that they could go out and acquire another big bat to come in and hit in the middle of this lineup, maybe a first baseman. Rhys Hoskins has been a name that has been floated. I say all of that to say the win total for Boston right now is 81.5. It's a pick 'em, minus 110, over or under. Is this a chance that it actually makes sense to go over?
I don't think so. And I don't think, especially just given the competitiveness in the AL East. If the Orioles were continuing to be terrible, you know, the Rays are playing really good right now. And the Blue Jays, I think, are exceeding a lot of people's expectations, mine included. As I've talked about plenty of times on Pro Baseball Today with Donnie, like, this is not a team that we expect to be good. It's so, so competitive. There's just so many games remaining against these teams that they're barely 500 and they still don't have, you know, that was when they had Devers. So, yes, they could go out and get a Rhys Hoskins, a player that would fill that need at first base, obviously with Casas being out. But I think the schedule is just too tough going forward for them. I think the offseason move of spending that salary that they just freed up, that is the most important thing. And if these rumors come to fruition that they're trying to trade Duran to potentially the Padres, you have to get top prospects back. They did not get a top prospect back for Devers going to the Giants, and then they just sent a Kyle Harrison down to AAA.
You got junk back if you were the Red Sox. Nobody conceivably that could come in and help you now unless Harrison comes back up and Hicks, the two of them, look like totally different pitchers than they have during their time with San Francisco this year. San Francisco, by the way, and we could show you some futures odds on them, you know, making the playoffs, you know, unlike the Red Sox, where you're getting basically 2-1 plus money, it's practically that minus money, minus 176 on FanDuel for the Giants to make the postseason here in this going for it year, obviously, that they have sitting right behind the Dodgers. Is there a right way to invest in San Francisco?
It would be Dodgers versus Giants in the NLCS at 26-1, right? Yeah, I'm not going to say beat them. You're not taking them to win a division. You're not taking them to win the NLCS. But Dodgers Giants in the NLCS is 26-1.
We've held Tom Vecchio hostage for the last three segments, but we are going to go and let him live his adult life. He is on Twitter, Tom_Vecchio in the number one. Thanks, bud.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are back. This is In-Game Live Game Day here on Sports Grid, or pardon me, Game Time Decisions. I'm so used to it being IGL. Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid, and we've got you for another 45 minutes. Head coach, I like to call him head. Got to add that. Head coach James Young is going to join us for the final half hour of the program and help us through a full Game 5 NBA Finals preview, Thunder and Pacers there in OKC. But as you know, we always love when this guy is on the grid, and he is practically every single day a host and analyst here as well. Maybe more of a host, but certainly a former bookmaker and a guy that knows these numbers as well as anybody. Dave Sharapan, the sportsbook consigliere, hopping on with us. And what do you got here? Dodgers? Yeah, you would be celebrating all things Shohei Ohtani tonight on the mound. Let's start there, my friend. What are the expectations for Shohei pitching for the first time since 2023?
So, first of all, great to see you. Second of all, the expectations are one inning, but maybe two. And this is one of those times, I've said it now since the last time I was actually, you know, practicing as an odds maker in the book. This is reason number 18 million why I'm glad I'm not in the book tonight, because K-prop is 1.5. If he goes two innings, it's going over. If he goes one inning, it might go under. We don't know how many innings he's going to go. I think the number's intended to be one inning. There's fun props all over the place in different books with, will he have a strikeout and a home run? You know, will he have – I've never seen more anticipation, Adam, for an opener in the history of baseball. There's never been anything like this. The guy is that guy. It's fun. It's exciting. I'm not sure that I'd make the minus 150 or 155 over the Padres tonight with knowing that they're getting a bullpen game after this. So that's what I looked at. Cease, it's probably going to end up being an overplay when you look at it.
So you just got me thinking about something, all the different funny ways that we could bet Shohei Ohtani. And I hadn't mentioned this yet. I hadn't even thought about this yet. But we're not talking full units. We're not even talking about we're talking about like funny money, like couple bucks, right?
Yeah.
Could you justify throwing just a little something, maybe a little five spot on Shohei to win the Cy Young? Because that number on FanDuel right now, because of course it's listed, right, is 250-1.
Geez, I don't know. It's June 16th. Is he going to get enough starts to get serious consideration for it? It might. I mean, it will be one of those fun ones that if he, you know, comes back quick, and the Dodgers have such a decimated pitching staff, that they're pushing him and he wants to come back and start, that he's going to get opportunities. But say he comes back and wins eight in a row and starts to get in the mix. Now, that would mean that he would beat my guy Skeens, which I don't want to see.
Yep.
You could take the ride from 200-1 down to 50-1 down to 30-1 and then have a really cool ticket that doesn't pay. You know, that could happen. I don't think he could win it, but that would be a funny money bet. I mean, you could bet that he's going to have an immaculate inning today. Nine pitches, 500-1. I'd rather do that. You know, he's probably not going to do that. I would rather do three up, three down. That's available in different places, and that's actually an affordable price. I don't think he gives up a hit, right?
I was thinking about your boy Skeens there because he did win the Cy Young last year. And when did he start? So I had to pull up the game log. So his first major league start, obviously the first one last year, was May 11th. So he had about a month edge on what Shohei is coming in with right now. And of course, very different. You know, he was out of the chute at least four innings anyway. And Shohei is in this opener situation for who knows how long it's going to take them to stretch him out, because as we've talked about here on the show, it's not like there's been any minor league ramp up to this. So, you know, he's good. He goes between, depending on the pitch count, one and three innings tonight. It's probably one or two, not three. And, you know, it could be a month and a half before he's throwing, you know, seven innings in a game. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So we don't know exactly what this thing is going to look like. But the combo of, like, get a strikeout and hit a home run, that type of bet, that would be a lot of fun for sure. While we're on baseball, and I know you know, we've got you for a couple segments, the big stories obviously are what's happening at the championship level sports, our winter sports here in the early spot of summer, basketball and hockey. But anything else on the diamond that draws your attention tonight?
I'm on the Phillies and the under. We'll see how that works out. I got Tampa against Baltimore. Those both teams are playing really well, and the under there. What about these Mariners being such a big favorite over the Red Sox? I mean, Gilbert's just coming back. This is his first start back. And, you know, everybody's woe is me. The Red Sox traded away Rafael Devers. They certainly aren't going to play. They're going to go out to the West Coast. They're going to go 1-8 on the trip. I think they're live with Giolito tonight to actually win the game. This would be a perfect spot to back the Red Sox. And then tonight, I think Cease and the Dodgers, Padres and Dodgers goes over. But that's where I'm at with the baseball. What'd you think of the Devers trade?
So I have a lot of emotions about it. We don't have nearly enough time to unpack all of them. I would need a therapist for that. But ultimately, as I tweeted out in short, I'm, you know, disappointed in the lack of a return, and that there's this feel of ownership in the front office for the Red Sox once again screaming at their loyal fans that they don't believe in building a team seriously, and that's just disgusting for a big market team. But in terms of Devers, if we're just looking at the human, I'm not disappointed he's gone. This isn't like moving Mookie Betts. This isn't like moving on from Xander Bogaerts. Wow. Devers is he's a good player. He's one of the best hitters in baseball, not average, but, you know, power and production, obviously RBI, OPS, all of that. I know a lot of people don't care about average anymore anyway, but not a team first guy. You know, even David Ortiz, you know, who's kind of sort of part of the Red Sox front office now, an ambassador, was dumping on Devers a little bit on social media earlier, saying that, you know, you got to put your ego aside. And he just didn't do that when it came to multiple opportunities to sort of move around the field and help the team out. So, look, they need to replace him. To quote, you know, Billy Bean in Moneyball, right? You got to replace him in the aggregate and get someone in there that can give you that production. More with Sharapan when we come back. We'll get to the basketball game tonight. It's a big one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sharapan back with us here again, the sportsbook consigliere. Get him on Twitter at SportsBKConsig. We'll get to the NBA Finals in just a second. Huge game tonight. Dave, I was just thinking during the break, you know, people who watch you here on the grid, they know, they see all the hats, they see all the jerseys. But what I'm wondering is, do you have the matching hat jersey combo for basically every team that is in your closet?
No. There are certain teams that I do not have anything of. One of them being, probably I don't have anything Washington Nationals. That's true. I was just thinking about that, but Sam and my ear said it. I don't have a Pacers anything. I never really did. I don't have a single thing of Indiana Pacers. And if they win, I'll get something. But up to this point, I don't. I've rooted for them in the past, and I don't have anything of them. No, Adam, I don't.
Does that mean you have something for the Thunder?
Oh, I have it right here. Yeah, I have a Thunder hat right here.
All right, in case we need it.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah,
that's a big bold OKC. Is that the team that you are backing tonight, even to the point that you would lay the 9.5?
I'm not comfortable laying a point spread, to be perfectly honest. This is a number that I know why it's this. Because if you make it anything at 8 or less, it's an automatic, limit play from bad guys. If you make it 10 or more, it's an automatic limit play from bad guys on the dog. So you sit at 9.5, and this thing has sat. I can't remember the last time they played. I think it was, what, Friday? Saturday?
2 days ago. It's Friday. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
3 days
ago. Right. This line has just been sitting, waiting for somebody to bet it or move it, and you don't have to. So OKC wins tonight. Yes. Money line, good. I'm not sure they cover. I really don't know. I'll probably, as we're watching it in game with me and Wetzel, I'll probably make a play on it in game, looking to lay 4 or less with OKC. Probably have a sweat. I think the best bet in the game, Adam, is OKC in the first half. I think they play well and lead at halftime.
And that's -5.5. What about first quarter -3.5? Is that too short a window to, you want the full half to sort of play itself out, or? Could you get behind the Thunder at home, behind that crowd, and the urgency of wanting to go up 3-2 to back them early?
Yeah, I like the first half a little more because you have a little more time. But the first quarter bet is probably good too if it's less than 4.5 or less. That 4 leaves you a push opportunity. But yeah, I think OKC starts much better this game than they have. Where I'm not saying that. I don't know. I think it's going to take a bit for Indiana to get going. That was such a letdown the way they lost that game and the way they didn't cover. I mean, a lot of people had Indiana last game and didn't cover, left with a bad taste in their mouth.
Anything on the prop market that stands out to you? Is there that, one or two guys that you'd really lean in on tonight?
Chet to have a good game. Depending on what his, what you're comfortable with, if you want to do the PRA, like the kids like to say, or just his points, different things there. And TJ McConnell is from the town next to me in Pittsburgh originally. Big fan of his as a Pittsburgh guy. Another Yinzer, yes. And his production when he plays, I think he goes over. I think, what is his, 10.5? Something like that for his points and maybe points and assists. I forget what the number is. But I think he has a good game for Indiana, and I think Chet has a good game. Obviously, SGA points. Last game, the SGA points was a real sweat. I mean, that number came down in game. I think he had 12 points in the first quarter or first half and then lit it up and somehow got to 35 because he scored all those points at the end. I like him to have a big game again scoring-wise. At home, feed him the ball. OKC wins between 8 and 12 or 13 points tonight.
McConnell, 10.5 points assist, by the way. I just pulled it up on FanDuel for you. Yeah, I think, and you just alluded to this. You talked about, you think you and Wetzel, you might be waiting for that in-game number, lay OKC -4.5. I'm on the other side, like-minded, but I'm on the other side, meaning – I don't want to take the Pacers pregame at 9.5. That number's not large enough for me. But if OKC gets out to a strong start, as I believe they will, and as clearly you believe they will, and I can get the Pacers at 16.5, something like that,
good number.
I'd happily jump in on that. happily jump in on that. I think we're going to get a game that they don't totally evaporate and get destroyed. Chairpan's going to be on with Scott Wetzel coming up in a half hour. So go nowhere. Hang out on the grid. Thanks, Dave.